We ask this morning, as we begin our study of your word, that the Holy Spirit of God that lives in your word, Lord Jesus, enkindle in us a fire, a great joy, an excitement, a purging, a renewing of our mind, a repentance. Lord Jesus, let this morning, let this moment of created time be extremely special. Father, that you may be glorified through us, through our efforts, through what we say, what we do. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to do something this morning I've never done before. I'm going to get into some area of teaching that I've never taught before. And I've done a lot of study in it, and I've... But I'm going to do some. I'm going to teach a little bit this morning in the Book of Revelations, and now I'm going to just. I'll tell you right off the in the start of this that it's going to be probably different than you've ever heard it before, and so just know that I am not perfect. In all of my understanding, know that that I'm striving for perfection in the Word, and I consider myself perfect only in the area of forgiveness. I refuse to allow anybody to upset me or to get me in a position where I can't seek reconciliation or forgiveness. I believe that's the point, that we're to be perfect as the Father is perfect, is that we forgive one another. Jesus forgave the whole world, and he said, now if you want to be perfect as I'm perfect, forgive one another. So I believe that I have reached that perfection in the area of forgiveness. I forgive people that abuse me, take advantage of me, ridicule me, scandalize me, persecute me, and pray that God, if I ever have to give my life for preaching this message, God will give me the grace at the time to give it. I never depend on me doing anything today except through God's grace. I know that my flesh is weak and it's has a lot of faults, and believe it or not, it's even sinful. It's corrupt. But I'm going to put up with it for a while longer, and then I'm going to get a glorified body.
Amen.
Amen. And so are you. So this morning, as we start in our scripture study, I'm just going to kind of let the... I don't really know how I'm going to do this yet. So let's just start and see how it works out. First, the very first thing that I want to recognize this morning is the church. I want the church to raise their hand. Okay. So everybody in here knows that you are the church. Now, you got to hold on to that. Okay? Who's the church? Say, I am.
I am.
Folks, that is a key that I just get overwhelmed sometimes when I get into Scripture, to let the words come to me and know that as I read these words, I am the only one that can repent, change my mind, and begin to operate on these words. I can't do it for anybody else. I can only do it for myself. And in doing it for myself, pray that my light would shine so brightly that people would be influenced to move into the reality of what Jesus says. It's the only desire that I have in life is that people will be moved from a spirit of darkness into a spirit of light. And the Word of God is to shine on us and in us, through us and by us. We're the church. Everywhere you go, you are a representative of Almighty God. You are an ambassador to the kingdom of God. So you must be under control, operating in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So now, hold on to that as we start into these scriptures today. It is not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of God, but the person who does the will of my Father in heaven. When the day comes, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, work many miracles in your name? Then I will say to these, to their face, I have never known you. Away from me, you evil men. Folks, that is an overwhelming statement. I mean, we all are involved in prophecy. We're all involved in the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? I'll tell every one of you here that those charismatic gifts will not get you into the kingdom of God. They will not move you into the very presence of God. These charismatic gifts are for the building of the body on this earth, and if the will of the Father is not being exercised in these gifts become very destructive. The church becomes extremely decisive, and it divides, and it manipulates, and it controls, and it dominates, and it does a horrible job in using these gifts, charging for the gifts. People making you pay to come and receive these gifts. That's just a horror. It's an abomination. I'm absolutely convinced that it's an abomination before God. Jesus set the example of what we should do as the church. And everything that he did it freely. He said, freely I have received, now freely I give. Everything that we've received, even life itself, was free from God. God never charged any of us for anything. And he said, now freely you have received, now freely give. Now what we're going to do this morning, we're going to look at the church. And we're going to see what church you belong to. Therefore, anyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them. There's two important things, my dear brothers and sisters, that we have to do. To listen to the word is one thing, but if we're not acting on it, it does no good at all. It's like going over here and looking in that mirror, and we see a reflection of ourselves, and we see clearly from the image in the mirror who we are. But the minute we walk away, we lose sight of what we've just saw. It's very difficult to even describe it. And that's what it's like to hear the Word of God and not act on it. It becomes just more words. So as the church, as the temple of the Holy Spirit, these words on these pages are given to us by the early church. People just like you and I wrote these scriptures. Matthew was a tax collector. Just a normal guy. Luke was a doctor. John Mark was a young kid at the time he began to write. Just a young fellow. John was a young man, an apostle of Jesus Christ. None of the other guys were apostles. Matthew was an apostle, but Luke and Mark, they weren't even apostles. They just guys hanging around, you know. The church. They were the church. They had heard the word, and they were acting on it. And my dear brothers and sisters, they wrote what they were living. And so I would challenge each one of you to begin to write the gospel according to...
Dan.
What's your name, sister? Roseanne. The gospel according to Roseanne. And see if it'd save anybody. See if it'll match up with this. Now, folks, if we can't write this, how can we claim to be the church? If we can't say we're living these words, how can we claim to know Jesus? We've got to live it. We've got to allow ourselves to be drawn into it. And I'll tell every one of you, it's the most difficult thing you'll ever go through. It's hard. It's a mind blower. It's a world buster. I'm going to tell you it is. But the joy that God gives you in your heart far supersedes anything that would distract you in the world. Anything. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? That's hypocrisy. And my dear brothers and sisters, today, the reason that Jesus Christ has such a horrible reputation in this life is because we have been hypocrites in our religious activity. We've said, Lord, Lord, and just slam dunked one another. Divorced one another, run our kids off, killed one another with the tongue, screamed at one another. No wonder the world doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. We went on the Holy Crusades for the 400 or 500 years just killing everybody, sticking them. You believe in Jesus? No. You know, we've had a 2,000-year shot at this thing, and I think it's about time we should get our act together. You know, I think it's time that the church begin to do what Jesus said. Now, we've already gone over what He said. Now, the only time that He preached to us was the Sermon on the Mount. The only recorded sermon that Jesus ever preached was by Matthew and by Luke. Matthew recorded it as a Sermon on the Mount, and Luke recorded it as a Sermon on the Plain. Everything is covered from the mountaintop to the plain in that sermon. That sermon is the only time He preached to us. And what He said, love your enemy. Now, folks, we've got to do that. That's listening and doing, obeying. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Why do you call me King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Why do you call me Master? Why do you call me Jesus? Why do you call me the Messiah, the Savior, the Eternal One? Why do you call me all these things and don't do what I say? And folks, you know, to do what He said is tough on this old flesh. Therefore, anyone who listens to the words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on a rock. All right, now let's just go back and see how it is that we can be sensible and build our house on a rock, where it says here, rain comes down, floods rose, gales blew, hurled themselves against that house, but it did not fall. Now let's put that into a perspective where we can understand it. You've got a husband and wife that are doing Jesus. They're doing the sacrament of Jesus. They're doing the sacrament of the Eucharist. They're doing the sacrament of marriage. They're doing the sacrament of their baptism. They're doing the sacraments. Not receiving them, but doing them. Doing them. And the way you do the sacraments is to do Jesus. Now, if you've built your house on Him, and you've listened to His words, and you've acted on His words, Jesus said, love your enemy. And if you're up on Scripture in Matthew 10:36, it said, a man's enemy will be those members of his own household. You've got to love your wife. Now, that love is agape, and that agape love means what? Now, y'all been with me all this week. Now, what does it mean? If you will build your house on that rock, nothing can destroy it. Nothing! You just can't be blown out of the house. I refuse to retaliate. I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll let nothing but praises and worship come forth from my mouth. You wonderful Son of the Most High God. You glorious hunk of humanity. Hallelujah. You original masterpiece of God. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And wait till you get home tonight. You ain't seen nothing yet. The old boy say, what? Bless those that curse you. Folks, that's what Jesus is saying for us to do. Hire me a lawyer. I'll not take that insult. The only thing that won't take an insult is your pride. Pride will never make it into the kingdom of God. It's doomed from the beginning. Amen. Isn't this good? Folks, and listen. And the thing is, it's simple, but it's devastating to your flesh. What it does, it brings us down to the mere state of a servant. I am a servant to my wife. She can do no wrong. How about that? How would y'all like to be married to a guy like that? She can't. I'm a servant to her, and I'm also a servant to my kids. How would you... To think about your kids having a daddy for a servant. I make up their beds. I pick up behind them. Anything they need, I'll give it to them if I got it. I'm a servant. Isn't that what God is to you? He's a servant. He came and forgave you your sins, your unrighteousness. He made you the very righteousness of God. He destroyed death where death had a hold on you. You could not enter the kingdom of God. Jesus destroyed it. He said, now you have a place with me forever. And all I want you to do is be like me. Be a servant. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that mistreat you. When they slap you on one cheek, stick that other cheek out. He said, if they steal your coat, give him your shirt. If they steal your drawers, give him your bra. You know, whatever. Folks, we have got this thing about things that has killed us. It's choked the very life of God out of us.
That's mine. I'll work for it. I'll fight for it. I'll die for it.
Well, you already are. You already dead. You just hadn't laid down yet. Now, with that understanding, isn't it good? I like it. I like to get into stuff like this. When you don't know what you're going to do, you just start. And you believe it or not, this is going to wind up in the book of Revelations. But everyone who listens to these words of mine and does not act on them will be a stupid man who built his house on the sand. Rain came down, floods rose, gales blew, and struck that house, and it fell. And what a fall it had. Do you know homes that have had great falls? Every one of us in here have seen them, just disaster. And folks, it just doesn't go in the home. It's in religious life. People that just absolutely are rebellious and angry, and they're not willing to serve, they have disasters. They wind up in disasters, and we feel so sorry for them. And there's nothing you can do for them. There's nothing God can do for them. God's given us everything we need to make the right decision and know how to walk. Our problem is, it looks like it's too difficult. And the only thing that these words will destroy is your pride, your selfishness. It'll destroy your attitude. It'll destroy everything. It'll destroy your mind. Because when you get into this, you will have to have the mind of Christ to survive. You'll have to know how to pray. You just have to. You'll get into tongues in a hurry. People won't have to say, well, you won't have to say, well, you know, I don't need that. I don't understand it at all. You'll be begging, teach me how to pray. You'll be begging somebody to teach you. All right. Let's go over to the book of Revelations. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but it's going to come out all right. Holy Ghost is in charge. I hope this is not Charlie. Book of Revelations. It says, I'm going to start right with the first. This is the revelation given by God to Jesus Christ so that he could tell the servants about the things which are now to take place very soon. He sent his angels to make it known to his servant John. And John has written down everything that he saw and swears it is the word of God guaranteed by Jesus Christ. And I want y'all to listen to this. Happy the man. Happy the woman. Happy the person who reads these prophecies, and happy those who listens to him if they treasure all that it says, because the time is close. Now, I'm going to tell every one of you, this book right here is not a scare book. It's the most exciting. I get into it and I read it and I go, wow, look at this. My goodness. And I've heard all the major reports. I've heard all of Hal's Lindsay's reports, and I've heard all the teachings. And brother, they're so far off base that they just don't even come close. And I'll tell you one simple rule right now that you can take hold of, and read the book of Revelations, and you'll never have another problem with it. First of all, you've got to understand that you're the church. You got to understand that you are the living, breathing, walking temple of God. And you've also got to understand the Holy Spirit will check you when you're going to say something, you know. Oop, watch out, boy. That ain't going to come out right. So the Holy Ghost is working this morning. Well, let's just leave it to this. Let's just say that that we'll be the church. We know that we're the church. And with that, that's enough. That we are the church. All right. My name is John, and through the union, and through our union with Jesus Christ, I am your brother, and share your sufferings, your kingdom, and all you endure. Oh, wait a minute. Let's read that again. I want y'all to listen to the church. First of all, let's look at John. John was on the Isle of Patmos. He was a prisoner, and he was taking little rocks, making little rocks out of big rocks, and hauling them down the mountain to a ship and dumping them on this ship, and the ship would go to Rome, and they built roads out of these rocks. John was a prisoner. Okay? He was exiled. Now, you got to understand that. That's very important. I am your brother, and share your sufferings, your kingly reign, and all you endure. I want to tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, when John wrote this, the church was being persecuted. They were being killed every day. Now, can anybody in here tell me why they were being killed? Y'all have heard me all week. Now, let's just begin to pull some of the wisdom that we have and understand why the early church was being murdered. And there's only one reason they were being murdered. They were teaching agape. They were walking the streets of Rome. They were walking the streets of Israel. They were walking the streets of Greece. And all of the other towns, they said, love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that mistreat you. To the one that slaps you on one cheek, present the other cheek. And folks, they were falling like flies. The church was suffering, and that's the only message that the church had been called to preach. It's the only one we've been called to live. The church that started 2,000 years ago, for 300 years, died like rats. They even went underground into the catacombs. You can go over and see them today. They still got them. They had to hide to preach. They were not allowed to own property. They were not even considered citizens. They were not, because they wouldn't fight. They weren't allowed to vote. They weren't allowed to have anything. They were pilgrims on this earth, a holy people, a holy nation set apart to do a work for God. And every time the people could find one, they'd kill them. Now, the overwhelming influence that this had on Rome, in 300 years, the whole Roman Empire had become Christian. And it was falling apart because nobody'd fight. Y'all listening? Y'all? See, I've done a lot of reading on this, and before Book of Revelation, you got to know the history of the church before you can get into it. What I want to do is lay this morning a basis for you to understand that this walk is not going to be an easy walk. In fact, I'm going to read it to you in Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the 16th verse, Luke 16:16. Isn't that easy enough? I want y'all to listen to this. Up until the time of John, it was the law and the prophets. All they had was the law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Bang, bang, bang. Thou shalt not. Since then, the kingdom of God has been preached. What is the kingdom of God? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he preach? Love your enemy.
That fulfills the law. The law says, thou shalt not kill. Jesus said, to fulfill that, I say to you, love your enemy. That fulfills the law. The law's not done away with, but as Christian, we fulfill it as Jesus fulfilled it. Instead of thou shalt not kill, that doesn't remove hatred. Doesn't remove it. Jesus said, if you've hated your brother, you're a murderer. I say to you, love your enemy. So with that understanding, it says, up until the time of John the Baptist, it was the law and the prophets. Since then, the kingdom of God has been preached, and by violence, everyone gets in. Violence. When you begin to preach love your enemy and do good to those that hate you, this country will go crazy. I'll just tell you, your political system will go nuts. Can you imagine being a Democrat or Republican and preaching this? Selecting a party? Can you imagine being involved in something where it puts people against one another? You can't do it. If you love your enemy, you love the... You see, y'all are ready to start getting them. Oh my God, what's he going to tell us next? You see that, folks, this is, we have watered down the gospel of Jesus to where it's a social event. That's all it is. When we begin to live the words of Jesus, folks, it'll put this world in a panic. 850 million Roman Catholics stand up and say, bless God, our battle is over. The victory's been won. We're victorious in Christ Jesus, and we're just passing through this stinking place. We're on our way to heaven. We ain't fighting nobody. We love everybody. What do you think will happen? They don't need you no more, sister. You're no good to the world. And that's exactly what I just want you to know what's going on here. Now, Constantine changed all that. He got one of those little starving bishops and said, hey, bishop, look, we'll give you that big old mansion up there. And we still got it today. We'll give you that mansion up there if you'll... And we'll give you your property back if you'll defend my kingdom. And what we'll do is we'll put Jesus in a box. We'll take him out of you. Now, I want y'all to remember now, we've already agreed that who's the church? Who's the temple of the Holy Spirit? See, we take that out of you and put it somewhere in a building, and we go out and kill these people that don't believe like we believe. See, the early Christians, my dear brothers and sisters, everybody living on this earth was a temple of God. Whether they knew it or not, Jesus said the people that were killing him, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Every single living, breathing person, when Jesus went to the cross, he died for all mankind. Didn't he? Didn't it say he forgave all sin? And you know the only sin in the world that's left today is a sin that we have against one another, and that's the sin of hatred. We deceive and kill one another with our tongue and with the systems of this world. It's the only sin left. When you and I start loving one another and sharing with one another, committed to one another, dedicated to one another, sister, I'll tell you, the sin will leave this world. And that's what I started acting. That's the way I began to act with my wife. I covered my wife's sins. I covered my kids' sins. It said love covers a multitude of sin. The willingness to suffer without retaliating will cover a multitude of sin. And folks, people will take advantage of that. They'll even kill you in it. But see, that's when we receive our reward. It's the one we're waiting on. Isn't it? Up until the time of John, it was the law and the prophets. Since then, the kingdom of God has been preached, and by violence, everyone gets in. All right? Now, let's go back over and see what kind of violence John's going through. I was on the Isle of Patmos for having preached God's word and witnessed for Jesus Christ. They had that rascal in exile because he said, love your enemy. That's the words of Jesus. Do good to those that hate you. Sermon on the Mount. That's the only sermon, sister, they could preach. They never preached the Old Testament. They preached the New Testament. They preached the words of Jesus. They didn't preach about Daniel or David or Moses or Matthias or all them things they preach about today. Just give me another sermon so I can tickle their ears for another week. I've been preaching for 7 years and I've stayed on one sermon, Sermon on the Mount, Love Your Enemy. Brother, you've never heard me preach anything but that. That's all I'll ever preach. You've watched me on television, you never heard me preach anything but that. And I'll tell you, they're upset at me. They cut my time. They're trying to get me off. Everything they do, just trying to figure out a way to get me off TV. And some people just keep sending money. A guy just called me yesterday. He says, I understand your television ministry is in trouble. I said, it ain't in trouble because it's not my ministry. It's God's. And if he wants it off, I could care less. But if he wants it on, nothing can take it off. He said, well, I'm sending you $7,000 to pay for last month's bills. How's that? I said, praise God. Folks, John was put into exile. He was put into jail just like Paul was put into jail. Why do you think they whipped him everywhere he went? Why do you think the Roman soldiers always was after him? Love your enemy. Why do you think the Jews followed him from town to town wanting to kill him? Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that mistreat you. To the one that slaps you on one cheek, give him the other cheek. And Paul had a hard time with it. I'm convinced that was a thorn in his flesh. He said, Lord, I'd like to go in there and just punch him out. See, we haven't heard that side of it. We try to say he was blind or he had to write big. No, he was probably blind like me. Couldn't see a thing. That's okay. But I'm convinced that it was the devil that was constantly tempting him to go in there and smoke him. He was a feisty little guy. He used to love to beat him up. They'd beat him up, throw him out of town, he'd get up and come right back in and preach the same thing. Love your enemy, do good to those that hate you. Y'all see why he was in jail? You see why he was on the Isle of Patmos? And do you see why the church is not being persecuted today for holiness? We've not even entered that holiness. Today the church is persecuted because it's out striking out and fighting and bitter, angry, and upset. We're not being persecuted because we love our enemy. We're not being persecuted because we do good to those that hate us. Somebody comes against the church, we're straightening them out. Watch out who you picking on, boy. You know, we from God. Isn't it amazing? It was the Lord's day, and the Spirit possessed me. Well, now, let me ask you one thing. See, people even say, well, that was on a Sunday. Tell me when the Lord's day is. Every day is the Lord's day. Now, let me go through some symbolic things here that we're going to be getting into. I want you to tell me in the letter 7, what does it indicate all through Scripture? I mean, from all of them, the beginning of Genesis all the way to Revelation, what does the number 7 always indicate? Complete. A complete period of time. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. A complete church. A complete time. A complete person. Okay? Now, what does 3.5 represent? Incomplete. It's an incomplete time. It's just an incomplete. It's a half of 7, which is incomplete. 7 in all of Scripture. 7 is always made reference to as something that's complete. God is 7. 7, 7. He is complete, complete, complete. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is total and complete. So 3.5 is incomplete. What would be 666? It's one brick short of a loaf. It's incomplete. It's not complete. All right? So now, as we get into this, I want you to remember these symbolic symbols that are going to be given are just for that purpose to let us know that God is the Alpha, He is the Omega. He's the beginning and He's the end. He is the beginning of time and He is the end of time. In His realm, there never has been time. In His kingdom, there was no beginning and there's no end. Time has been created for you and I. Now, I don't know why He did that, but He did it. And that time, there was a beginning and there will be an end. We're living somewhere in that parade. Somewhere between the beginning and the end, we're in there. But as far as we're concerned with God, it's already finished. Because our battle is over. When Jesus went to the cross and destroyed death and forgave us our sins, He made us victorious over sin and death. He restored us to the righteousness of God. And we have overcome the world by faith. We've overcome it. So John's on this Isle of Patmos having a ball. Hallelujah. Okay, brothers, I'm going to write to you today in our suffering so that you can endure this thing that's going on. I want you all to know that we can endure whatever happens by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. You can endure your husband. You can. If you'd start being kind to him and, you know, he might start being nice to you. You know, I started being real nice to my wife. I couldn't believe it. She just went head over heels. I started helping her. I never help her do nothing. I just wouldn't. You know, woman's work, you know, do it. I was that kind of a guy. I mean, you know, some of you women wouldn't have put up with me even 30 seconds. You done had slam dunked me a long time. But my wife was a very patient woman. And one morning I got up and helped her make up the bed. Just a little thing like, oh, I'll help you, honey. She says, surely the Holy Spirit's real. Just little things like that. Isn't my wife wonderful? He said, there was a voice behind me shouting like a trumpet, write down all that you can see in this book and send it to the seven churches. All right. Now, he's fixing to write something down and send it to whom? No, come on, saints. Who's he going to send it to?
Me.
He's going to send it to me, the church. You've got to get that attitude. Only I can operate on the Word of God. Only I can receive the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Nobody else in the world may never receive it, but I can. You see what I'm saying? This was written to me. I'm the church. And it's for me today, now. This is just as real today as it was when he wrote it 2,000 years ago. Amen. All right, now let's go to these seven churches. Now remember, the seven is complete. In other words, everything in the world is going on in this church. Now what I want you to do, when we read these churches, I want you to figure out which church you are. Oh, it's going to get exciting. You just figure out which one fits you the best. Okay? And we go to the first church, Ephesus. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing because we'd be here all day. It said, nevertheless, I have this complaint to make. Now, he's wrote some good things about this church. But he said, church, I've still got a complaint against you. And listen to what he says. He says, think where you were before you fell. See, most of us have, folks, I was never in a position of falling because I came into this thing fell. I walking around fell, you know. I never had a chance to back off. Or, you know, when they said backsliding, I've been backsliding all my life. I never knew what it was to be up on top of something. I was just backsliding. So when I came into this right here, this didn't really fit too good with me. So remember where you were when you fell. Repent and do as you used to at first, or else if you will not repent, I shall come to you and take your lampstand from you. All right, now there's seven lampstands. What is the lampstand?
What is made reference to in the book of Revelations as the lampstand? The church. He said, I'll come and take the church away from you. What is the church in me? It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm the temple of God. He said, if you don't repent from where you came from, if you're not willing to go back, change your mind and go back to where you were, I'll come and take your church. In other words, your light won't shine no more. Your lampstand, your candle, your bright burning light's going to go out. Isn't that simple enough, folks? Now, most of us, we were already out. We didn't have to worry about getting our lamp put out. It was already gone. At least I was. Now, some of y'all may not be there, but I was. Mine was dead in a micro. Now, listen to this. It is in your favor, nevertheless, that you loathe, as I do with the Nicolaitans are doing. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him listen. So what the Spirit is saying to the church, those who prove victorious, I will feed from the tree of life, which is God's paradise. I will feed from the tree of life set in God's paradise. All right, now, folks, let me go back up and read what it was that they had fallen from. I know all about you, how hard you have worked and how much you have put up with. I know you cannot stand wicked men and how you've tested the imposters who call themselves apostles and proven that they were liars. I know, too, that you have had patience and have suffered for my name without growing tired. Nevertheless, I have this complaint to make. You have less love now than you used to. You have not quite that burning zeal of love that you used to have. Okay, now, what kind of love are we talking about? Who is that agape directed towards? You see, most people look at that and say, oh, they have fallen away from God. They don't love God anymore. No, they lost their love for their enemy. The willingness to suffer without retaliating. They lost that. They were people who were coming and persecuting them. They said, well, child sucker, I can fight too. Pow. And what John was saying to these people, he said, you've lost that love. You've lost, not all of it. Some of you are still holding on. But he said, this particular church at Ephesus, some of you have fallen away. You're not operating in that love that you started with. That love has to be directed to one another. It can't be directed to God unless it comes this way first. In other words, my salvation depends on my relationship with this sister. If I'm willing to suffer with her without retaliating, be patient, kind, generous, long-suffering, gentle, then that's the Spirit of God. Then this, you know, she has the right then to do me to anything she wants to do, and I'm just going to suffer. Your husband's got the right to do anything to you he wants to do. You just got to suffer. See, we don't want to hear that, sister. We just don't. No way, Jose, I ain't living in that. I'll get me a lawyer and I'll get out. Well, see, these people were not in disobedience or rebellion to the word. They were suffering. They were being murdered for loving their enemy. They'd walk right into the church and kill them. They said, well, one of your brothers just checked out, murdered right in the house where Satan has his throne. Now, we're going to get into that in a minute. But I just wanted you to look at Ephesus here. They had lost a part of their love, the willingness to suffer without retaliating. They had lost love their enemy. They had lost doing good to those that hate them. They had lost blessing those that cursed them, praying for those that mistreat them. They'd lost some of that. Has our church lost it today? Same thing. We've lost it. How many churches in the United States do you believe are operating under this kind of agape love? In other words, let me ask this. How many people in this world, in the United States, do you think you could muster up today that have a knowledge and an understanding of what we're even talking about? And you know that we say we're 65% Christian in this nation? And we would have a problem going out finding anybody
that understands the agape message, understanding the church and what we've done in the retaliation against one another. Well, I'm going to tell you, the church will tell you, I'll divorce that sucker. Get him out of here. I mean, a sorry, no good bum. Make him pay! And what we do? We've lost our love for one another. And Jesus said we'd lose it. Let's go back over to Luke again. I'm sorry, Matthew 25. What I covered yesterday morning. I think it was in Matthew 25. Yeah, 24:4. Listen to this. But many false prophets will arise. They will deceive many. And with the increase of lawlessness, love in most men will grow cold. Jesus already prophesied that it was going to happen. So today as I look at the world, I'm not overwhelmed at the fact that this hadn't happened. Jesus said it would happen. Love in most men would grow cold. The love in the church would grow cold. We would not be willing to suffer without retaliating.